I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I knew it. I love when he does that.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Tribal chief around here. Yeah, you see me, the tribal chief. That's right.
On time. But let me go ahead and tell you.
Shut your bitch ass up.
Look how far we've come. You're still here. This is us. These are my confessions. Still going strong. Yeah, man. Let it go.
I'm just trying to be me, proving what I on top of the world. What? All the world be on top of the world. D on top of the world. Dog Cat be on top of the world. Emmy Dollar Sign E all over the world.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 403 of the Hoots Podcast. Coming to you live from the Break Free Room here in Chicago, Illinois, on this Thursday, March 7th, 2024. It is your truly nefarious brother Adam, aka Joshy Lopez, ready to rock and roll with another episode of wrestling punditry, if you will. First and foremost, for those who are watching live, either on YouTube, what, Facebook, what, Twitter, or X, what, please do me a favor, like this video and subscribe to our podcast on YouTube. We're on the road to getting 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, and it'd be nice to get one of those little plaques to add to the shrine here. But please do us that favor there. Also, follow us on Spotify if you don't have the time to watch the video versions of the show. Our free audio version of the podcast comes out every single Thursday, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Especially follow us on Spotify. That'll help expand the reach of the show as well. And like I said, we're not behind a Patreon account. No knock on people, content creators that are. Gotta get your bag. But this podcast comes to you free of charge each and every single week, and I appreciate the support from each and every single one of you. We are just about a month away from WrestleMania 40, and a lot of questions are up in the air. A lot of pontifications, a lot of theories, a lot of hearsay, a lot of rumor and innuendo as well. A lot of people are talking about what's going to happen at WrestleMania. Will Cody Rhodes finish his story? Will The Rock turn on Roman Reigns? Will Seth Rollins turn on Cody Rhodes? I'll answer all those questions today in this week in WWE. But as you see the title of this week's episode, I'm going to pose a question to you. Who do you trust out of these four particular superstars as we head into is being hyped as one of the most anticipated WrestleManias of all time? And with that being said, it is WrestleMania 40. This will be a special show one way or another. So I posed a question. Let me know in the comments section. Hit me up at the Hoots Podcast on X if you like throughout the weekend. And I'm curious to hear your responses. If you had your druthers out of everybody that's in this scenario between Rock, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and Seth Rollins, who do you trust and who do you trust the least? I know my answer, but that's the thing. We got this big confrontation taking place tomorrow night on SmackDown in Dallas, Texas, which I'll get to in just a couple of minutes. But we got a lot of different things to discuss here as regards to WrestleMania. And I appreciate support from each and every single one of you. I do want to say really quick, my transcripts have been getting some nice reviews and stuff, and I've been on a little bit of a hot streak. So for pulling behind the curtain here, when I do my articles, they're on WordPress, and we have these like grading systems. So if you get an orange like semi-circle, like an orange button, it's being attached to this thing called SEO. SEO is basically a tool that helps get your article ranked high on like Google and Yahoo and stuff like that. And that's a big thing for like content creators and people who run websites and stuff like that. I've been working with SEO stuff for the last 10 years, so I kind of got a good feel for it. And the highest you can get is green. Now, if you get orange, it's not a bad thing. But green is like the creme of the creme, if you know what I mean. And I'm glad to report, and shouldn't be surprised to anybody, but your boy is on a bit of a hot streak for the last 2 months especially. It's been nothing but green SEO scores, and I'm very happy and proud of the content that I've been pumping out from a transcription point of view. And I talked about this ad nauseum last year and stuff like that. I'm not going to bore you with the whole story and everything. You guys should know this by now. But
I had lost my job last year. I got put on furlough. And to get back to where I am now and getting back on my feet, and we're in the midst of WrestleMania season, it's getting furloughed has driven me to a whole nother level that I didn't even expect at that moment. And I feel like I'm putting out my best work right now, not only with this podcast, but also my articles as a whole. And just very, very proud of the stuff that we've been able to produce on air and off air with the transcripts. I put a lot of thought and detail to those pieces because a lot of those result or play-by-play articles could be tossed aside or look as meaningless, but that's because a lot of people copy and paste each other and not putting the effort to type out these promos and try to apply some context and stuff. When I cover these shows, I really, it's intentional for me to not give you like my star ratings or grade letters for a match or stuff like that. I don't think anybody really gives a shit what I would have to say reviewing that type of stuff. But like, you know, I could express my thoughts on what I like and dislike on this show, but you know, when it comes to my articles, that's there for everybody that views as a point of reference. It's there for people to follow along with the storylines. I try my best. I will admit that English wasn't my strong suit when I was a student in school. I probably should have been paying attention more in English and reading class and stuff like that. But, you know, life works in mysterious ways, man. I never thought that I would be writing and covering wrestling for a living. You know, I always wanted to do two things. I wanted to be the next Jim Ross, or I wanted to be like Glenn Fry and travel the world, play music. Those are the two things I only wanted to do in my life, you know. So to have this opportunity that I've had for the last 10 years to cover wrestling indefinitely and not do it in a dirt sheet slant and a narrative, I'm very proud of the stuff I've been able to produce. So if you guys ever want to see any of my transcripts or play-by-play articles per se, please go to the results section of WrestlingHeadlines.com and just let me know what you think. I appreciate any feedback, and if those articles are a bit of a piece of like context and a sort of reference for you as you navigate the wrestling universe, I think I did my job. So again, check out my articles at WrestlingHeadlines.com. Tomorrow should be very interesting. You know, I talked about this a little bit on episode 400, but I kind of shoot my shot a few weeks ago where I sent out an application for BD credentials for WrestleMania 40. So they said that people would be notified if they got accepted on March 8th. Today's March 7th. That's I'm recording this. I will find out tomorrow if I'll be at WrestleMania. And this, if I get approved, this would be a very full circle moment for me. As many of you know, I kind of got screwed over it a little bit when I was working at WrestleZone as far as opportunities and working in the press box and stuff like that. To have this opportunity, if I get approved to do it in Philadelphia, would be a full circle moment for me, not only as a media member, but also this podcast, because it was right around the same time I started this show when I left WrestleZone. So it's just, it would mean a lot to me if I got approved. I'm just going to say that. So hold that hope for me. I'll let you guys know if I got it or not, but that'd be pretty cool. And that's the thing. I'm not even doing it to try to like do interviews with people and stuff like that. I just want to be at Lincoln Financial Field and just do my transcript at the shows. And that'd be cool. That'd be very cool. And I make sure that I make myself presentable. You know, I know the nature of these like press scrums at the, wrestling events are kind of hit and miss when it comes to the merits of journalism and stuff like that, but at least be presentable. But that's another topic for another time. as I'm saying all this, I just want to say again, thank you all for the support. Before I get to everything that went on this week in programming and all the minutia and all that crap, I just want to say really quick, there's a little bit of like life advice that I want to share for anybody that needs it right now. And I want, for those who are watching or listening to this, and by the way, if you're driving and you're watching and listening to this, keep driving. I don't want you to get in a car crash or anything like that. but I want you to take a moment and say this to yourself, four sayings. It'll take you one step at a time, all right? We'll start with the first one. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm healed. And the rest doesn't matter. Let's do that one more time. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm healed. And the rest doesn't matter. Four bits of advice from yours truly to yourself to remind yourself each and every single day. If you're not in a position where you're not healed, you need to start acting on it and face the pain that you're going through. And trust me, pain in a lot of ways, in a positive point of view, has been a big motivating factor in my life. And I'm driven by the pain that I suffered through. I'm driven by the people who have told me no. And I'm driven by, you know, getting to the point where I'm undeniable. And I had to acknowledge myself before anybody acknowledges me. And I'm not just using that as a Roman Reigns tagline, stuff like that. You guys know that I am a Roman Reigns guy, but it's true. You can't expect anybody to acknowledge you professionally or personally if you're not acknowledging yourself. So I just want to send out a little piece of positive advice if anybody needs it, or just a reminder. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm healed. And the rest doesn't matter. So, and also, I wanted to read a little bit of this. There's a great book out there. Totally recommend it for people to check it out. This is a little snippet of it, of a popular book called The Four Agreements. I'm going to read this verbatim, and I posted this quote on my Instagram page at Josh Lopez Music if you guys want to follow me there. Let's check this out really quick. So, here you go. Okay, number one, be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Number two, don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality and their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. Number three, don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. And the last one here, always do your best. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It'll be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Under any circumstance, simply do your best and you'll avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. And this one, that last one is very important to me as somebody who deals with self-doubt. You know, as I look at that, I had to be the best version of myself. What other people think or what other people say about me really doesn't matter because they're not in my shoes. And as somebody who deals with self-doubt and could be its own worst enemy at times, I hold enough shame, and there's not anything in this world that people say probably bad about me that I haven't already said about myself. So, you know, I had to control what I can control, and that's me and acknowledging that I am a good person. I am healed from my past. I'm happy with how things are going in this transformation process that I've been going on, and all the wasted energy attached that I deal with off air, et cetera, just doesn't matter at this point. So Just a little bit of wisdom for everybody who's watching or caring. But I appreciate the support, everybody. Thank you all for checking this out. When I come back, I'll get into some wrestling stuff because this is a wrestling podcast after all. And I'm going to post a question. You guys are watching it right now. I see you guys. Comment down below. Like the video on YouTube. Who do you trust in the four-way conundrum that we're in with The Rock, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Cody Rhodes? Who do you trust and who you do not trust? I'll answer all those questions and everything else that happened this week in WWE right here on the Hoots Podcast. All right, guys, welcome back to the Hoops Podcast. Time to talk about what happened this week in WWE. My God, man. Time to talk about the graps. It feels like WrestleMania season. WrestleMania season is definitely not only busy and hectic for performers and the men and women. I respect all the sacrifices they put their bodies through, especially during these house shows when you're trying to make sure that you're not getting injured before the biggest show of the year. All the writers and production staff that are trying to make WrestleMania as anticipated as it could possibly be, with it even being the 40th anniversary. But it's also, for content creators, this is the busiest time of year. I know it's busy on my end. WrestleMania season has always been a grind, to say the least. But it's worth it, man. This is where the big-time players make big-time plays. As Stacey King would say about Derrick Rose when he, Derrick Rose was the Chicago Bull. And, you know, it's the best step up during this time of year, and yours truly is no exception to that for sure. There's a lot of things to ponder as we head closer and closer to WrestleMania 40. Who will Gunther fight for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania? Who will fight the Judgment Day for the Undisputed Tag Team titles? That's still kind of up in the air. Is Damian Priest going to find his way to cash in the World Heavyweight Championship match on night two? You know, where is Bayley and Io placed on the WrestleMania card? Do you do both women's title matches on the same show? Do you do... It looks like both world championship matches will be on the, night two, which I don't personally have a problem with. The roster is so big and has so much depth right now with the way a lot of different angles are circling through both shows that, you know, it's not a bad thing to have both your men's world title matches on the same show. Plus the fact that really the draw for night one is this tag team match with The Rock and Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. So honestly, you know, Cody and Roman by itself is big. It is a box office match, and it's an anticipated match because it's the match and the rivalry that people haven't been shutting up about since WrestleMania 39, which I still have people telling me that it was a mistake that Roman Reigns beat Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 39 last year. Okay, let's say that Cody did win last year. You're telling me right now with a straight face that the crowd wouldn't have turned on Cody by then, or like where we are right now? It's funny now, a lot of all this stuff is coming full circle. Like tomorrow night, SmackDown is taking place in Dallas, Texas, the same city where Cody Rhodes made his return at WrestleMania 38. Was at that show. I also went to the Raw the following night at the American Airlines Center. And the whole premise of Finish Your Story started on Monday Night Raw in Dallas, Texas. As we go into tomorrow night's SmackDown, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins will obviously accept The Rock and Roman Reigns' counter offer, and this tag match for night one will be made official. And a lot of things have been discussed, a lot of fantasy booking, a lot of assumptions. I haven't seen that much complaining about the scenario, what's going on with Roman Reigns, The Rock, Cody Rhodes, and Seth Rollins. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on if you're enjoying the feud. Are you enjoying the buildup? What side of the fence are you on? There's so many different things I could even ask you guys as we're talking to each other right now. And I'd love to see your guys' feedback. Like, what's catching your eye so far with this build? And as I post the title of this week's episode, who do you trust? I'll tell you who I trust during this build-up towards WrestleMania 40. And that's the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Because at the end of the day, as last week's episode was about power, right? Roman Reigns, at the end of the day, is Teflon. Yes, The Rock is part of the TKO board, blah, 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 blah. I really try to stay off the dirt cheat talk because it's just, we're going to find ourselves talking in circles, and I just want to talk about the stuff that we're actually seeing on TV. I get it. We all got to talk about creative and if this is going to be a good booking decision and stuff like that, but I really don't care. Like, with all the decisions that have been made right now, especially with this feud right now, you're getting box office one way or another, regardless of if Rock and Roman win on night one or Cody and Seth win on night one. Will we have bloodline rules? Will we not have bloodline rules on night two? Look, for those watching the video, look at it. Money. You got money regardless. And we all know there's going to be shenanigans one way or another. Is there loose ends with Triple H? Sure, maybe that'll get addressed sometime soon. But there's a lot of things that are becoming full circle with everybody that's involved with this feud right now. And like I was saying earlier, this finishing the story premise started in Dallas, Texas. They'll have to, this is going to be the first time all four guys are in the same arena with each other on screen since the press conference in Vegas a few weeks ago. Excuse me. And of course, the match is going to be made official. But, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. Oh, man, this is just lining up for Seth Rollins to turn on Cody Rhodes. Can Roman trust The Rock when The Rock is still, instead of doing the one, still putting out the L sign? Even last week, with how epic that promo was for The Rock, Roman cuts him off and says, like, you need to acknowledge me. Does Roman really believe that The Rock acknowledges him when The Rock is going to try to one-up him and outshine him in every promo segment? Think about this. This could be a long month. This is only March 7th. We got tomorrow in Dallas. We got next week in Memphis. Another two SmackDowns after that. Plus the go-home show the night before night one. So we got about four or five more shows before we get into WrestleMania. And are we 100% sure that Rock is not going to turn on Roman Reigns? Are we 100% sure that Seth Rollins is going to turn on Cody Rhodes? I get it. Why Seth cares so much that he has to take down the bloodline. He probably wants the credit for himself from a character point of view, right? He's responsible for the demise of the bloodline. You know, there's that Rumble match where Roman and Seth fought each other and Roman was just whooping the out of him and with the steel chair, and it was a disqualification, and bringing out the other darkness within the Joker character that he carries himself with right now, and the history and all the nonsense that Roman's been saying about the championship. Another interesting thing is that there's the Monday Night Raw taking place in Chicago at the Rosemont Horizon on March 25th. That is also the same building where they had the reveal of the World Heavyweight Championship by Triple H. Do you get a Rock appearance in Chicago for Raw? You know, Rock's telling Seth Rollins, like, hey, you keep poking your nose in Bloodline business, you know, the Rock can make the title go away like that. There's so many different avenues that even it's hard for somebody like myself to keep up with. You know, I could try to guess. I could try to make assumptions here, but even I don't know how all of this stuff is going to be sorted out. Who's going to win? Does it really matter who wins? That's another thing, too. Who's going to turn on who? Will we see new Bloodline members pop up? Most likely. Like, I'm in a bit of a conundrum here because even I don't know what the end outcome is going to be. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we're projecting outcomes and fantasy booking ideas. And then when it doesn't happen, oh, it's a bad booking decision. You know, oh my God, I can't believe Seth Rollins turned on Cody Rhodes. Why do we need Seth and Cody again? Look, this is a very important thing about wrestling, especially in life, man. We got to be in the moment. I know that a lot of us live and die in these weeks of Raw and SmackDown, but as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania, there's going to be more twists and turns. I'm sure there's going to be something where The Rock accidentally bumps into Roman. Maybe Cody and Seth start bickering each other, where Drew McIntyre is continuing to call out Seth Rollins for being a hypocrite and a spotlight junkie. Like, I'm sure all of that is going to come around as we get closer to WrestleMania. You know, do we have another epic promo segment with Cody and Paul Heyman along the way? Do we have Roman and Cody finally have an opportunity where it's just them two in the ring and it's not associated with The Rock and Seth Rollins? Like, can we, the two guys that are in the main event on night two, actually have a promo segment by themselves? You know, it started with those two on that SmackDown in Birmingham a few weeks ago. And now The Rock is in, and The Rock is showing up to these shows, and he's being consistent, and we all got a chance to rave and enjoy that beautiful 21-minute promo that he posted to his Instagram page last week. You know, I'm a little late to the party here as far as my thoughts on that whole promo segment on Instagram because, you know, he posted it literally the next day following last week's episode. So I wish I could have, I don't know, made a separate video about it or made a reaction video, but it's, YouTube is so finicky with, like, copyright strikes and stuff like that. So I'm like, you know, should I react to this? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I'll tell you this now, in case you guys are wondering about my thoughts on that promo on Instagram. Money. Again, pure money. And The Rock is a talent that just clicks every single cylinder that you would want from a professional wrestler, entertainer, salesman, wherever you want. And yes, there's a lot of loose ends that he brought in, you know, about what he said to Cody's ear, the phone call after Cody won the Royal Rumble, his status with TKO. I thought the stuff where he brought up the $5 billion deal with Netflix, I thought that was very interesting. And yeah, I get it. On the surface, oh, you're making Seth Rollins look bad. But The Rock is a heel. He's taking no prisoners. So yeah, Seth Rollins is going to look bad. And no, I was not crazy about him calling The Rock Diarrhea Dwayne. But I understand the premise that he was getting at with that. But, you know, I don't think Seth Rollins is getting enough credit for his contributions to this feud. I get it. He's not, this title's not on the same level as Roman. It's not. It doesn't have the lineage. And, yes, there's levels to this. Roman is here and Seth Rollins is right there. And it's not a bad thing too, you know? I just look at this whole scenario and there's so many different things to project, fantasy book, where could this go, where could that go? I just want to live in the moment and appreciate what we're watching, because this is a different build-up to a WrestleMania that I've seen in a long time. And this is even a little different setup. Yeah, I get his little callback from when The Rock was feuding with John Cena, where he would do his little promos on social media and stuff like that. I get that. And that, again, that promo that he cut on Instagram was fantastic. You know, he's telling Cody Rhodes, screw you and your goofy-ass dog and, you know, fuck your story and stuff like that. It was fantastic. I was laughing my ass off. And I know there's a lot of people who are nitpicking The Rock because he repeats himself. I'm sorry that you're late to the program. The Rock has been conducting promos like this since 1998. I don't know what else you're expecting. This is the shtick with him. Now you're catching it on because you got ADD. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I got to call a spade here. You know, I'm curious just as anybody else of where this is going to go. And I know that a lot of people are clinging on to the whole Seth Rollins turning on Cody Rhodes, because I guess Rollins gave Cody a weird smirk during their promo on Monday. And there's a lot of assumptions right now. I am not going to sit here right now on March 7th and tell you everything that's going to happen at WrestleMania. I can tell you who I trust. I trust Roman Reigns. But from a character point of view, and from watching the show and covering the company for as long as I've had, if you just look at it on surface, why would Cody Rhodes trust Seth Rollins? And why would Roman Reigns trust The Rock? We're going to get our answers one way or another. And that's the interesting thing that's going to come out of tomorrow. Because Cody, you need to get your lick back. You can't sit there like a baby back bitch and get slapped across the face and do nothing about it. So, okay, you get a little piece of physicality tomorrow. Maybe we get like a pull apart brawl or something like that. I'm curious to see how this is going to go. Rock made some very interesting comments on the SmackDown promo. He's like, there's nobody in the back that could get in The Rock's way of making sure that Cody Rhodes doesn't finish his story, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. You know, honestly, I would love to see Triple H come out tomorrow and tell him that you could project wherever you want, but your word ain't shit. You know, Rock, by the way, Fox, you guys are on my shit list this week. All those cutouts and blackouts, and I get it. You shouldn't be bringing a Die Rocky Die sign to a show. I get it. A lot of people are sensitive these days. I understand that. But all the cutouts and stuff like that, it's just ridiculous. If Fox could be that petty over the fact that they decided to move on for SmackDown, that's just ridiculous, because I don't know anybody that's been clamoring from Friday night programming from Fox for years, even before SmackDown even came to the network. So whatever the situation is, and this is not the first time this has happened, you know, and SmackDown is always had to end early because we got to rush to the evening stuff. And like, sorry about that. Can't get phone calls during shows. Doesn't roll like that. We got this thing with Fox, like, they're just making issues where it doesn't need to be issues. I just don't think that's cool. I don't. It's just a little annoying. let's be honest with you. So I hope that doesn't happen tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Honestly, what I want for The Rock tomorrow is to see him rip the Dallas Cowboys. And sorry to my my good brother, Blake Michamore, but I just need to see it happen. I need to see The Rock just rip him. Rip him a new one. Rip the Cowboys a new one. So we'll see. Let's take a look here at other stuff that piqued my eye throughout the week of programming. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Dominic Mysterio. Say what you want about the guy, man, and I know everybody loves the Boo Dom, and he at times he does carry himself in a jackassy manner, but I thought him and Gunther had a really good match on Raw this week. Those shots were nasty. I thought Dominic took a step up as far as in-ring stuff this past Monday on Raw, and yeah, you give the credit to Gunther, but let's not sit here and act like Dominic cannot do anything in the ring. And I think that Dominic deserves a lot of props and a lot of credit for how he was carrying himself in that match on Monday. That match was really good. You know, by the way, really quick, I want to go back a little bit to the Rock, Roman, Seth, Cody stuff. Seth Rollins, man, you need to put your brother in line. You better check him because Roman, he's another one that's taking no prisoners. He's going to say whatever he wants. You're just going to sit there and take it and laugh at him. That's not doing yourself any favors. So, you know, he's going back and forth on Drew McIntyre about where's his angry energy, where you're making jokes now, but now you want to be serious on Twitter and calling people a bitch. You need to bring that smoke tomorrow. I'm just going to say that right out. You need to bring that smoke and energy. Anyways, let's move on. There was an announcement this week of a gauntlet match that will be taking place on Monday, where the winner will be taking on Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. By the way, Mr. Adam Pearce, I want to say thank you for listening to the Hoots podcast as I recommended this match as a scenario. I know, for traditional bases, a lot of people wanted a ladder match that they could do for night one, then it could bleed into night two. I don't know if you want to overdo that. I get it, WrestleMania's two nights, but it works with what's happening now for the main events for both nights. I don't want that permeating through the entire card where one thing happens this night, then the next night. We don't need to overdo it. Plus, you're kind of telegraphing in a way that Gunther is going to retain and pick up the scraps of somebody who put their body through absolute hell in a ladder match the night before. So I don't have an issue with the fact that we're having this gauntlet match. It's going to be sick. You got JD McGrillet. You got Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Ricochet. That match is going to be a barn burner on Monday. I don't even know where Raw is this Monday, but that match, oh, it's in Houston. Yeah, Houston, you're in for a barn burner on Monday. By the way, I'm going to give a shout out to the guys, Ross and Dove from In the Clutch. Big fan of their work and their reactions to like their live streams to the wrestling shows. I've watched it and here and there on YouTube. They're very good at what they do, so I want to give a shout out to In the Clutch. By the way, shout out to Ross. He has his own channel called Kicking It with Ross. I don't agree with all his opinions. He's one of those content creators that are always big on talking about booking and pretending like you know everything that goes behind the scenes of wrestling, to each his own. But I respect his passion, and he's very entertaining, and he's good at his stuff, so I give credit where credit's due. But go check out In the Clutch. They put out some good content. By the way, support your fellow content creators. It's not going to harm anybody. By the way, all you cross-eyed half-wits that are so robotic in your mindset that you have to go after Bianca Belair because she's on the cover of WWE 2K24. I haven't had a chance to talk about this because this has been trending all day on social media. And I didn't feel like to make a post because I was, you know, sometimes people post things just to do it for clout and likes and retweets. If you guys are still making racist comments and whatever towards a performer because they're on a video game, regardless if they're black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, you, my friend, are a piece of shit. She, out of anybody within that roster or any industry, deserves to be in a cover of a video game. What the cover skin has to do with anything is just beyond me. But again, it's another example of why people in society today ain't shit. So I hate the fact that I have to take time out of the podcast today to even address this because it's just embarrassing. Like, wrestling fans, it's bad enough that we have to deal with the toxicity and the tribalism and stuff like that each and every single day. But also at the same time, we got to deal with people who think it's still okay to be sexist and racist to women and et cetera, et cetera. And last week, I had to give a clown of the week to the jackoffs that were booing Maxine Dupree and make her feel like shit because she's trying to improve herself at a live event. Like, what are we doing? I thought we were better than that as a fan base, but I guess not. Like, it's just ridiculous, man. So, with that being said, I do want to mention a couple other things. This is going to come as a shock for me. This is going to be a shock coming for me. I love Liv Morgan as a performer. She seems like a really cool person. Very, very good in the ring. I like the character. Extremely hot. That's an understatement. But I do not want a triple threat match for the Women's World Championship at WrestleMania. Becky and Rhea Ripley is a fine enough match on its own accord. I get it. We got the whole Liv Morgan revenge tour. And it's not even me going after her fans and stuff like that because you can be a fan of who you want. But again, I've never been an advocate for forcing triple threat matches because the IWC or the latest bitching fest on social media, it has to do with one performer not getting the opportunity for a title match where the other has earned that opportunity to fight that champion. I didn't like it at WrestleMania 30. I did not like it at WrestleMania 37. I thought it was stupid that people were trying to do it this year, you know, making it a Roman, Cody, Rock, triple threat match, whatever. Like, I am tired of the social media fed, forced triple threat matches. Great. Daniel Bryan moment at WrestleMania was a source of entitlement. I have a lot of respect for Bryan Danielson as a man, as a performer, but nobody can tell me with a straight face that decision that happened in New Orleans at the Superdome was not forced in a sense of entitlement to appease wrestling Twitter. Even 10 years later now, it was even ridiculous for the fact that he got added to the match with Edge and Roman Reigns at the WrestleMania in Tampa Bay that I went to. Enough of the triple threats because, oh, my person's not finding who the champion is at WrestleMania, so we need to make it a triple threat. We need to make it a four-way. Enough already. Liv Morgan just came back from an injury. Okay, she didn't win the Rumble. She didn't win the Chamber. It's not her time. She'll have her opportunity to fight Rhea Ripley when the time is right. I don't think that Rhea Ripley is going to lose to Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. But, okay, it's the Liv Morgan Revenge Tour. So is this tour only going to be 3 months? Right now what you're doing with Liv Morgan is giving people a reason to have sympathy for her. And what I'm trying to express here is that I appreciate what she does in the ring. She's great to look at, obviously. I like the fact that she's not taking any shit from Becky Lynch as far as the storyline is concerned. But at the same time, like, I'm tired of social media trying to change matches at WrestleMania into triple threats because the IWC gets in their feelings because their favorite is not inserted to the match. No, Liv Morgan does not need to fight Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Hell, if that's the case, just make it a four-way with Nia Jax, because Nia Jax has been putting on barn burners recently. And I thought those words coming out of my mouth, I never thought I would see on this freaking show. Again, I am a fan of Liv Morgan. This is nothing towards her or anything like that, negatively. But leave Rhea and Becky alone as a standalone match. We do not need to make this a triple threat because crying and bitching and moaning on social media over the fact that Liv Morgan's not fighting Rhea at WrestleMania. Guess what? She's not going to win whether she was in the match or not. So I just need to get that off my chest. As far as the gauntlet match for the IC title, I do believe that Sami Zayn will win this match. I will not be surprised if it's Chad Gable, though. That's my dark horse pick in that match. But I do believe this will be Sami Zayn's opportunity to fight Gunther at WrestleMania. So that's my pick. What else stood out to me from TV this week? I want to give a shout out really quick to NXT for Roadblock. I thought it was a very entertaining show for NXT this past Tuesday night. Check out the Wolf Dogs against Chase U. I thought that was a very good match. Also, by the way, Braun Breaker is going to be a big-time star. I'm very excited for his future. He's gonna do some good stuff in the future. I'm excited to see what he has in store for us on the main roster. What else really stood out for me from NXT this week? Hold on, let me pull. Oh, Dijak and Joe Gacy, the Asylum match. Very, very physical match. I thought that was good. And then, of course, the main event, Carmelo Hayes and Tony D'Angelo. Shout out to the Paisan. Tony D'Angelo defeated Carmelo Hayes. And after the match, Trick Williams returned to start being a Carmelo Hayes. So there you go. There's your big-time match set up for NXT Stand and Deliver. You got Ilya Dragunov against Tony D'Angelo for the NXT title. And Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. And I think Roxanne Perez and Lyra Valkyria will have a rematch from... what was the show that they had recently? Was it Vengeance Day? Yeah, Vengeance Day. A Vengeance Day rematch as Stand and Deliver. So... NXT is cooking up some good programming, to say the least. really quick, I want to say really quick that shout out to Drew McIntyre, man. That guy is a national treasure. I saw the little video that he posted after Raw where he's like driving around the parking lot of the old AT&T Center in San Antonio. Hey, Drew is going to do a victory lap in San Antonio. You hear a loud fan chirping in the background. Bring back Broken Dreams! Bring back Broken Dreams! Bring back Broken Dreams! And then other people are doing CM Punk chants. There was CM Punk chants directed at Drew at the end of Raw because, again, Jimmy Uso is one of the biggest player haters on God's green earth. He cost his brother another match. By the way, I think it's time for Jay to show up on SmackDown and do something. Throw those freaking sunglasses away and start, you know, getting a receipt on your brother. I'll say that for sure. And honestly, like, you gotta have Jay go after Jimmy at this point. I don't know what they're waiting for. Drew McIntyre, seeing to see a Punk chant, and then he starts playing Cult of Personality on his phone, which gets attached to the speaker of the car that he was driving. Oh man, that's tremendous. So shout out to DM Hunk. So Drew McIntyre is the absolute menace, and I'm here for it. But all in all, that's my thoughts on a very interesting and chaotic week in the world of WWE. We'll have to see what happens tomorrow night on SmackDown in Dallas, Texas. Bobby Lashley's taking on Karrion Kross. Logan Paul will be on the show. Then on Monday, we have, of course, the Kabuki Warriors taking on Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark for the tag titles. The gauntlet match for the number one contendership for the IC title. A lot of things up in the air right now as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania, but it's a fun time, and curious to see what happens next. And on that note, we're going to pitch it now to a segment that we like to do each and every single week called, and it's a segment that should be nominated for an Emmy, it should be nominated for iHeartRadio Podcast Awards, and it should win an Oscar as well. Because it's time for a restaurant new. I'm kidding. I got the Oscars on my mind because it's Sunday, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm excited for the Oscars. But no, this segment will not be nominated for an Oscar. But anyways, it's time for a new restaurant quality edition of something that we like to call here on Hoops Podcast, otherwise known as What the Hell is Wrong with AEW? Ladies and gentlemen, let's start this bad boy off in a 3, a 2, a 1.
Your meat, beat 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 your meat.
I'm telling you, my time is right now. Right this minute, 2022, we're living it. My time is now. My time is right. God damn now.
Man, what intensity. The quality of the product and the quality of the shows is at an all-time high right now. But I do know that it's a real war between AEW and WWE.
I'm still cashing fat checks, and I am still banging the hottest bitch in this entire place.
It's time for What the Hell is Wrong with AEW?
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to What the Hell is Wrong with AEW. I can't even put myself back on the screen right now because I'm just kind of shaking my head right now, trying to muster up the words to recap what the hell I watched from Greensburg, North Carolina this past Sunday on pay-per-view. By the way, folks, do you realize that AEW has a new logo and a new set, so everything is cured? There's no problems. All the problems are solved. Hey, everybody. Hey, AEW's on the uptick. Oh, WWE gotta be scared. WWE's gotta be scared. This is not a tribalism thing, but this happens nearly after every single pay-per-view that AEW does. And it's like, it's like clockwork. I'm just like expecting it after every AEW. Oh, it's a new era in AEW. Oh my god. Oh my god. It's Sasha Banks. It's a new era. Things are on the up and up. I mean, y'all can choose to take the bait, or you can take a look at this beautiful painting here that was made by the good brother Joe Serna and realize that you can have a new logo, you can have a new set, you can have a new theme song, you can have a new whatever. You can bring in Okada, you can bring in Ospreay, you can bring in Sasha Banks. The same issues within this company is not going away anytime soon. Mainly this cross-eyed half-wit cocaine addict right here in the middle of this picture. And right next to him, the enabler, Chris Jericho. And right next to him on the left-hand side, one of the worst referees on God's green earth, Aubrey Edwards. So, I'm not here to tell you that everything that's going on in AEW right now is wrong. I watched Dynamite in full last night because I was curious just as much as anybody to see what's going to happen on the Outlaw Mud Show on TBS on Wednesday night. But am I alone in kind of noticing the, predictable hyperbole that comes out of every big AEW pay-per-view? Oh my God, they're back on a uptick. Oh, I can't believe you have something negative towards AEW and you're a hater. I'm not a hater. I've been to like 3 or 4 AEW shows. I've been to a Forbidden Door show. I went to the first Collision show. I'm not a hater. Yeah, the title of this segment is not helping me out in my favors, but for those who listen to this segment, understand the fact that I want AEW to be as good as anybody that does, even for the people that glaze over AEW and do shows like this. Like, I want AEW to be successful. I want it to be good, but I'm not just going to put a blind eye because it's not WWE. And oh my God, Sasha Banks is here. Oh my God, AEW has the best women's division in all professional wrestling. Oh my God, Sasha Banks is going to help AEW finally hit over 1 million viewers every single week. All right. Keep telling yourself that. Is it really a shame that I can't really enjoy the product as I want to, because there's so much hyperbole that's attached to this and it hasn't come from my field, because they're just as desperate as the AEW tribalists to make sure that AEW is looked at on a level that they're just not. If that makes me a hater, I think you need to take a step to look yourself in the mirror, because I'm saying something that nobody wants to. I'm telling you something that you do not want to hear and what nobody else is telling you right now. I'm not saying that they're at rock bottom. I'm not wishing death on AEW. I don't want it to go away. But I am not going to sit here and just act like they're on some hot tick, like they're Nitro in 1996. Oh my God, they got a new set and a new theme song. Oh, it's a new era. Yeah, it's a fucking new era every 4 months because the other months attached to it is pure and other bullshit. So, you tell me what's up with this Outlaw Mud Show. Let's start off with the positive stuff this week. We'll start off with Revolution and then make our way throughout the rest of this voyage here. By the way, I did not get a chance to watch the Tony Khan press scrum. I know I'm going to disappoint my guy Chris Zaletta for that, because normally I would have some thoughts on what that meth addict would have to say. But I just didn't have the time to watch it this week. Brother had to take care of his mentals on Sunday. I didn't have time to stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning to watch Tony Khan say everything's great, everything's great, everything's great. Yeah, I get it, everything's great. So let's talk about Revolution. Did not watch the pre-show, but from what I see, Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale defeated Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Willow Nightingale is opining to get a TBS title shot from Julia Hart. We had a 12-man tag match with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. Listen to the list of these luminaries here. Jeff Jarrett, Sutton Singh, Jay Lethal, Willie Mack, and Private Party. My God, what a monstrosity that match is. I didn't even watch it, and I'm like, oh my God. I can't even imagine the match layout it was. Anyways. Looking at the time here, the rundown here on Wikipedia for the match times, look at this. Christian Cage match, 16 minutes. Eddie Kingston, Brian Danielson, 20 minutes. All-star mid-match scramble for 16 minutes. Roderick Strong and Pockets went 12. Blackpool Cuckold Club against FTR went 22 minutes. Timeless Tony Storm and Deonna Purrazzo went 12. Will Ospreay and Kenosuke Takeshita went 22 minutes. The triple threat for the world title went for 19. And then the main event was 21 minutes. Hey, man. I got to give credit where credit's due. That crowd in Greensboro brought the energy because some of those matches are long. Some of them go way overboard and overstay their welcome. Like, there's no reason why Ospreay and Takeshita needed to be 22 minutes. I thought it was a fantastic match. Don't get me wrong, but 22 minutes for that with a cold match for a purpose that nobody gives a shit about, I guess. And that's the thing, man. I hope you're not overextending Will Ospreay because he's incapable of having a match that's not over 15 or 20 minutes. I get it. I saw all of his matches in Japan, but you're going to run this dude to the freaking ground if you're making him have 22-minute matches on pay-per-view plus, like, 25-minute matches on TV like it was last night with Kyle Fletcher. That match went way too long. Again, Ospreay is great, but why are we dropping the load and rushing him to fight Bryan Danielson? And why am I not surprised? Let's just say that. Why am I not surprised? I enjoyed the match with Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson. I thought it was physical. Nice little moment where Bryan actually did shake Eddie Kingston's hand. So it was nice to see. And I saw their backstage promo, which was nice to see. So, you know, Eddie Kingston earns the respect of Bryan Danielson. That was nice to see. The Christian Cage match with Daniel Garcia was fine. Obviously, Christian's been doing a lot of good work for his resurgence in his career, doing some of the best work of his career as a whole. I like Daniel Garcia. I don't think he's on the level that a lot of people within my field thinks he's at. But I will not come in here and say he's overrated or bad at his job. I like Daniel Garcia, but I don't like him like that. But Christian Cage retains. We go into the show on Wednesday night. Luchasaurus or Dino Douche got a victory on Dynamite last night. Daniel Garcia's getting beat up. Out comes Adam Copeland. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We got in a couple weeks in Toronto, Canada, it's Christian and Edge Part 3. Again, another example of dropping a load. Why couldn't this happen at Dynasty? Why couldn't you wait to do this for Double or Nothing? The guy gave Adam Copeland a concerto, and he's back in 2 weeks. Oh, man. Unless this is like some best of seven series between these two guys, I don't know why you're giving the third match away on free television. I do not get that. Wardlow winning the All-Star Scramble match over Kobe God, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and Dante Martin. Okay, was what it was. Wardlow will be fighting Samoa Joe at Big Business coming up on Wednesday in Boston. That'll be a good Hoss match, but I don't think anybody's expecting him to beat Samoa Joe. So that was what it was. Roderick Strong and Pockets. I'm happy for Roddy that he won a championship in AEW, but is anybody like buying the Undisputed Kingdom as a threat? I just haven't seen it yet. I'll be more invested into it once Adam Cole gets off that stupid-ass wheelchair. I don't think he's as injured as people are making him out to be. So, it's time for Adam Cole to get back in the mix because I'm just not buying it. You know, and it's a second thing because, look, I'm a fan of Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. I think they do great work. But nobody within the audience takes those guys seriously or as dangerous threats. They're practically the goons of this faction here. Wardlow, people appreciate Wardlow's size and stuff like that, but is he as hot as he was before joining this group? No. Roderick Strong, okay. A really good wrestler, but okay as a character. I have my reasons as to why I feel this faction is cold right now. yeah, and it's good that you're putting titles on the squad here, but I don't know. I'm just not feeling it yet. Blackpool Cuckold Club and FTR, I thought that was a good match. I thought the Raw team won here, though. I guess they want to make Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli a dominant threat going into this tag team title elimination tournament. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have another tournament coming up in AEW. God bless us all. I thought time with Tony Storm and Deanna Purrazzo was okay. Tony Storm got help from Mariah May to defeat Deanna Purrazzo. I was not surprised that Tony won, but it wasn't her time to lose the title anyway. I put over the Ospreay to catch the match. It was fantastic. Samoa Joe retains over Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland. Right guy won. I was kind of surprised that Hangman was the one that got put to sleep by Samoa Joe. I got Samoa Joe winning. Him and Swerve seem to have unfinished business with each other, but yeah, it was not time to take the titles off Samoa Joe. Then we get into the creme of the creme of this segment this week of Sting's retirement. First and foremost, I want to say congratulations to Sting on his retirement. A well-deserved honor, a well-deserved presentation, rollout, and the way to put a cap on his tremendous career. I'm happy for Sting, and well-deserved moment. So I want to give a shout-out to Sting because I think all that was handled properly with class and everything in between. So, happy for Sting. Now, if this had nothing to do with Sting's retirement, I would be ripping this match a new asshole. I'm not alone in saying this, that you look at, you know, you got Darby Allin going through a chair contraption that's holding a plate of glass, right? Then you got the Bucks, the Hardy Boys, hip-tossing Sting through a plate of glass that's pressed against the barricade where shards of glass are flying into the crowd. I'm trying my best not to rip off Jim Cornette here, but honestly, this is some CZW nonsense that doesn't belong in a main event of a pay-per-view. And for that to be highlighted as a major spot in a match for Sting's retirement, I thought it was ridiculous. Good for Darby that he wants to be a daredevil and take those type of risks, but it just wasn't for me. I thought it was a stupid spot, especially the spot for Sting, putting him through that glass with the hit toss and having the glass shoot into the crowd. Why am I not surprised, though? Why am I not surprised? But, you know, you got the cool moment. You got Sting's sons helping out their father, coming to the aid of Sting to put a ribbon to the bow. They retained the tag team titles. Darby basically vacated it last night on Dynamite. We'll have this new tournament to crown a new champion. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But all in all, as far as Revolution is concerned, I enjoyed it for the most part. I would not say this was AEW's best pay-per-view of all time. I am not engaging in hyperbole this week with you all. I'm just not going to do it. Seeing that spot with Darby Allin going through that glass off the ladder started to make me question my IQ. Read the room, man. Read the room. Why are you doing a spot like that? And take the spotlight away from Sting's retirement because you got to do a freaking jackass move while Sting's having this retirement match. So fucking stupid, man. Like, honestly, that stuff with Darby and all that stuff belongs on a freaking flea market show, not on worldwide pay-per-view. Ridiculous. Anyways, let's move on here. Let's talk a little bit about Dynamite last night. I got to watch the show. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we had the announcement of Okada now joining AEW. And guess what? He's now a member of the Elite. Oh, man. Great. Awesome. You know, these AEW free agent signings have the same impact as free agents that the Chicago Bears get. It's next to nothing. And the way they're utilized means next to shit. I love Okada. I'm not surprised that he's in AEW. Of course, he's there. Anybody really going to believe the fact that they're going to start booing him because he's with Matthew and Nicholas Jackson? But, come on, Joshy. Okada's going to fight Olivier at All In at Wembley Stadium. Great. We'll drop the load for that match once Kenny Olivier comes back and graces us with his presence. So we'll have a rematch from New Japan in a stadium this time. I'm sure it'd be fantastic, but from a storyline point of view, why do I give a fuck? And attaching Okada with two guys who couldn't cut a promo if their life depended on it, really, you're going to have Matthew Jackson be the spokesperson for Okada? I'm not even a Don Callis fan, and I'd rather have him cut promos for Okada. So, I get it. I promise it's funny. Oh, they are firing Olivier from the Elite because he's refusing to show up to dates, even though he's dealing with a major illness. And I hope Kenny's in a better position with his health. But the Elite, this is the best we got for Okada. Oh my God, it's a game changer. It's Okada. He's in AEW. Oh my God. Great. far in a wet church. That was my thoughts on Okada's debut last night. I'm happy for him. He seems like he's going to be being a bad guy. Okay, we'll do him and Eddie Kingston. We'll see how that goes. But, man, it just feels off watching these New Japan guys in AEW. I'm not going to lie, man. It just doesn't feel the same. And yeah, I get Okada was the heel before in New Japan, but again, when you have subscribers to the Wrestling Observer newsletter as your creative team coming up with these storylines, and the fact that it was Tony Khan's idea to have Okada attached to the Young Bucks tells you everything that you need to know. So it is what it is, if you know what I mean. Like the match last night with Chris Statlander and Riho, I thought that was a very good match. I thought Hook and Brian Cage's FTW match was pretty good as well. I will have to say this, though. Keep Hook as far away from Chris Jericho as possible. Keep Hook away from the Chris Jericho vortex. I beg of you, AEW. Keep Hook away from that crap. I put over the Ospreay-Fletcher match. I thought that was a really good match, but that was what it was. Let me take a swig of water real quick because I've been talking nonstop for the last hour and 10 minutes. Oh, man. So good. All right. Before we wrap up the segment, we do something here on the podcast each week, which is called the Excrement Impression, and I'm going to do that for you guys right now. And here we go. Coming to you live tomorrow night on TNT, it's another stellar edition of AEW Rampage. Here are your matches. First, a triple threat match featuring Private Party, Brian Kingston, Commander, and Top Flight. Right now, we have Penta El Zero Miedo taking on Action Andretti. And next, for the AEW TBS Championship, it's Julia Hart taking on Robin Redigan. And our main event is the best friends of Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta taking on Kip Sabian and The Butcher. More matches to be announced. Make sure to follow TonyCon on Twitter at TonyCon. And don't forget to check out AEW Collision this Saturday on TNT as Brian Danielson takes on Shane Taylor. Also, don't forget, we'll have the debut of Okada and the Young Bucks live on Collision. Ladies and gentlemen, we made it. The Bucks are now on Collision because CM Punk is not there anymore. Great. Don't forget, get all your tickets right now at AW Tix. Don't forget, all your AW tickets right now at AWTIX.com. Repeat, that's AWTIX.com. On that note, we post a question each and every single week. I love to know from you guys, what the hell is wrong with the AW?
This has been What the Hell is Wrong with AEW.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of
fuck
here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, that is What the Hell's Wrong with AEW this week. Before we get to our main event segment, we do something here on the podcast each and every week where we give out an award to jackasses who deserve to be spotlighted. And this segment is affectionately known as the Klein of the Week.
I'm not Klein. Klein, 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 Klein. You're big Klein, old Klein, 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 Klein.
One more time for good measure.
I'm not Klein. Klein, 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 Klein. You're big old Klein. Klein, 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 Klein.
Really quick, the Klein of the Week this week. A lot of different suggestions. I did want to go with Bianca Belair. The people that are going after her, that's definitely a potential nominee. The Klein of the Week this week, though, goes to John Collins of the Utah Jazz. I don't know if you guys saw this last night. The Bulls were taking on Jazz in Utah. Bulls got another victory in Utah in close time situations. By the way, The Rock was right about Utah, so The Rock is another person that I trust. But John Collins gets a technical foul for shoving Bulls assistant coach Chris Fleming during a mini skirmish during a foul situation on DeMar DeRozan. John Collins basically costs the Jazz the game. And John Collins, you, my friend, are definitely the Klein of the Week. And before we get to our main event segment, I know that NFL free agency is coming up on Monday. I'm looking forward to it. Like to see the Bears get some reinforcements on the trenches on both sides of the ball. I would definitely like to see that. Maybe we could get like a couple of veteran receivers. That'd be pretty cool. I know the questions out there as far as like Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley. I don't know if we could afford both guys, but if I had to pick one out of the two, I'll go with Saquon Barkley. But he does come with an injury risk for sure, so they'll have to be very careful about how they go about it. But that was that. And also, on a sports tip, I want to send my condolences to the family of Chris Mortensen. Chris unfortunately passed away over the weekend during the NFL draft combine at the age of 72. Chris, one of the legendary reporters of all time, dealt with a lot of health issues over the last couple years, and Chris Mortensen is definitely somebody that I looked up to in the media field, and you know, a guy that I watched a lot growing up as a kid, seeing his coverage on ESPN, and the guy had some good wit to him. So I just wanted to take a moment of time to send my condolences out to Chris and his family. Very, very sad, but also we could take solace in the fact that he's no longer in pain. And I think that's very important to remember during these times like this. But I want to send my condolences out to Chris Mortensen's family. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But when we come back, we'll get to our main event segment this week. It's time to take a trip into the Back Porch Q&A session right here on the Hoots Podcast. All right, guys, welcome back to the Hoots Podcast, or something to do here on this week's edition. By the way, man, these shows are going to fly by fast, man, so you got to appreciate it. We're on our final leg here. We're entering the final chapter of this podcast, man, so enjoy while it lasts. I'm cutting it off after we get to 500, so hope you guys enjoy this final leg of this journey with me, and I do appreciate the support from each and every single one of you. I didn't get a lot of questions this week. I only got questions from Chris Letta this week, which is fine, no problem. But here's Chris's questions for the week. I'm going to take one more glance here on my mail account to see if we got any extra questions. Nope. All right. Well, with that being said, if you guys do have any questions for me as I'm doing the segment here, you can hit me up and I'll give you a shout out and I'll answer anything that's on your mind. So send me a question. Let's start with the good brother Chris Zaletta at XTeenZaletta24X on Twitter. Make sure to follow him on Twitter there. Don't forget the Back Porch Q&A session. Anything is on the table. Nothing's off limits. You can ask me anything that you want. And as many questions as you want. And as always, you can send questions at thehootspodcast@gmail.com. With that being said, let's take a look here. What up, Hoots? Here's a question for the Q&A this week. Best match at Revolution. Man, that's a good one. I'm stuck between Will Ospreay and Takeshita and the triple threat match for the world title. But I'm just going to go with Ospreay and Takeshita by default. But the triple threat match for the world title, I thought was pretty good too. If Fields is not in Chicago next year, then where? I'm going to go with either Seattle or Atlanta. That's my guess for Justin. But we'll have to see how that one plays out. Thoughts on not the Rainmaker anymore, but the chicken shit Okada joining AEJW. Chris has this thing where he calls AEW All Elite Japan Wrestling. I get where he's coming from with that. Chris, I'm not going to call Okada chicken shit. That's unfair for him. He is entitled to make the decisions that he wants and stuff like that. I am not upset or disappointed over the fact that he decided to go to AEW, then WWE. My only point of contention is that I've already seen him on AEW program before, so it's not really something new or groundbreaking to see him there. So, yeah, it's just another guy. I hate to say that because Okada's one of the best wrestlers in the world, but if you look at it in totality as people coming into the product, like, great, Okada's there. Then what? Then we'll get Sasha Banks next week. And then they'll rush her and Toni Storm at Dynasty. And then we won't see Sasha for a couple of months here and there. And we'll have to see how that plays out. Thoughts on the Wise Man going into the WWE Hall of Fame? Yes, I want to send my thoughts to Paul Heyman and Bull Nakano for being the first two members being inducted into the 2024 class of the WWE Hall of Fame. Well deserved on both ends for both Paul and Bull Nakano. Paul Heyman is one of my biggest influences in my career, and especially in life, and not taking shit from anybody, and being focused and being on my feet as far as how to handle communication situations and debates and stuff like that. But Paul Heyman is one of the best orators in the history of professional wrestling. One of the best managers of all time. Just one of the best minds in the history of the business, and definitely well-deserved for Paul Heyman. So I'm very happy for him. He had a question here as far as who should induct Paul Heyman. For me, I would go with CM Punk, but I would not have a problem if Tommy Dreamer decided to induct him. So we'll have to see how that one plays out. Thoughts on the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight taking place? Boxing is a clown show. That's what I'll say. Boxing is not the same. I grew up loving boxing as a kid. I remember the last fight that I watched. Boxing has become a complete and utter joke. So I have no positive thoughts as far as Jake Paul and Mike Tyson is concerned. It is what it is. Do you think Becky Rhea somehow turns into a fatal four-way? No, and I don't want it to be a fatal four-way unless it's going to be an elimination fatal four-way. We don't need a triple threat with Liv. We do not need a fatal four-way. If you're going to do a four-way, it better be elimination. That's all I'm going to say. Adam and Christian's reunion, when it takes place, heels or faces? That's a good question. That's a very good question. I think it'd probably be baby faces, which is kind of a shame because Christian's doing some of this best character right now. I guess you could go back to them being heels because they were heels when they were a tag team back in the day. But I'm gonna go with faces for this question though. Did you see John Cena's interview with Chris Van Vliet? Yes, I did. I got to watch the interview with John on Tuesday while I was doing my walk. And I was going to give a shout-out to my fellow Taurus brother, Chris Van Vliet, who also had a great interview with another Taurus brother, John Cena. It was fantastic. Chris Van Vliet is the best interview guy in the business today when it comes to content creation within the wrestling realm. Chris Van Vliet is the best interviewer in the industry today, and it's not close. I enjoy his interviews. I listen to him. They're good father when I go do my walks and stuff like that. And I admire Chris a lot, and I would love for Chris to be a guest here on the podcast sometime soon. So let everybody know that Chris should make a return to the Hoots podcast soon. That'd be a lot of fun. Let's see here. Who takes the tag titles off of Braun and Corbin? That's a good question. You know what, Chris? I'm gonna go with Axiom and Nathan Frazier. That's gonna be my pick. Either those guys are Malik Blade and Idris Adolfi, but I'm gonna go with Axiom and Nathan Frazier to take the titles off of Braun and Baron Corbin. Who wins the gauntlet match on Raw? And this is the final question of the week here. Another good one. I'm going to go with Sami Zayn, but I would not be surprised if Chad Gable wins this one. But you could go either Sami Zayn or Chad Gable, and you won't have any issues on my end as far as that, because both those matches would work well for WrestleMania. But on that note, I'm going to put a ribbon on the bow for this week's edition of the Hoots Podcast. By the way, I would say thanks to Chris for sending us questions. As always, if you want to participate in the Back Porch Q&A session, all you have to do is set us up at Twitter at the Hoots Podcast or the Hoots Podcast at gmail.com. As I was saying in the beginning of the show, it's very important to share some important life wisdom and words of encouragement to yourself. So say these four words with me. Say these four phrases with me. I'm happy. I'm good. I'm healed. And nothing else matters. I'm happy, I'm good, I'm healed, and nothing else matters. You know, I have good and bad days in this journey of my body transformation and stuff like that. And I've had a lot of time to reflect on a lot of things within my life. And I realized that a lot of times that I didn't step up and just express what I want to express and been more directed in direction, be more direct with my attentions on certain relationships and stuff like that. And never forget the first love of my life, the girl I, for me, that was my soulmate, is the girl that I grew up with in a family friend. Her name's Alicia, and she's turning 30 next Friday. We're all getting old. I'm turning 30 in May, but you know, one of my regrets is not opening up more to her about how I felt about her, because I, for me, she was always the one, and I could admit that. Looking at it now, Alicia was always the one, and it's okay. I can acknowledge that now and appreciate it for what it was. But also, you know, as I do like my reflection on this journey that I've been on, I had to remind myself that to be proud of the progress that I'm making, and a lot of this stuff is not going to happen overnight. I do have some shame within myself that I got to where I was with my body and not taking care of myself. I do hold some shame with that. And I think I've been very good about holding myself accountable with that, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's not easy. I got myself in this position in the first place, and getting myself out of it is not easy, but it's been definitely worth it. And I can see the progress as these weeks go by, and I got a doctor's appointment coming up on March 18th. We'll see where I'm at as far as how much I've lost since December, which was my last appointment. But I just want everybody that's watching this to know that I'm happy. I'm in good spirits. And I'm on the up and up. I really got nothing to worry about. And I got nothing to complain about, man. Life is good. And I'm very appreciative for each and every single one of you. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you. Thank you all for supporting the show and supporting me along this journey, man. And hope I continue to make you all proud. And that's what I wanted to say. So with that being said, this has been episode 403 of the Hoots Podcast. I love y'all. Have a wonderful weekend. Make sure to follow me on Twitter if you'd like at the Hoots Podcast. Please make sure to hit the like button and subscribe on our YouTube channel. And don't forget, as always, check out my transcripts in the results section of WrestlingHeadlines.com. Easiest way to go support my wrestling articles and stuff like that. Pretty easy to find, too, to be honest with you. But with all that being said, go check out the articles. Subscribe to the podcast here. Follow us on Spotify as well. And share the show with your friends. Remember, folks, be the authentic product that is yourself. Remember, nobody dictates the pace of your life but yourself and the man upstairs. I love y'all. I'm Joshy. This has been episode 403 of the Hoots Podcast. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Yay.
Bye-bye, bitch.